Every year on my birthday, when I was younger and still sometimes to this day, I would hear the story of the day I was born. Grandparents, aunts, and uncles would tell the story of my arrival with great dramatic flourish. The first grandchild, eagerly awaited, remaining in the womb several weeks past my due date, decided it was time to enter the world in the middle of a major snowstorm. I would hear tales of fear and anxiety as people worried about how dangerous it was to drive to the hospital. Would my parents make it safely and in time for me to be born in the safe hands of medical professionals? And the joy and the relief at the news of my birth with everyone safe and sound. What I came to see as I got older was that this wasn't just a story about me. It was a story about who we were as a family. This was a shared family experience, part of our collective history. It didn't just happen to me, it happened to everyone. My birthday wasn't just my day, it was a day in the life of my parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles and cousins, one of many experiences that wove us together as a family. It is likely I'm not unique here. Many of you probably do the same thing in your own families, perhaps around birthdays, perhaps also around death anniversaries. When it comes to the events and people that shape our history and indeed our identity, telling the story of how we got here is part of how we commemorate and celebrate those events and people. Not forgetting what transpired to arrive at a certain moment is part of the importance of it all. In many ways, that is what the Easter Vigil is all about. This service is decidedly different from Easter Sunday. Tomorrow morning, we will gather in the daylight with trumpets and timpani and celebrate resurrection. But tonight's celebration of Easter begins in the dark, just as it did for the women who went to the tomb early in the day as it was dawning while it was still dark. And tonight we tell the story of our salvation history, not just the Jesus part, but what came before. Let us hear the record of God's saving deeds in history, how God saved God's people in ages past, and let us pray that our God will bring each of us to the fullness of redemption. In order to celebrate, we tell the story of how we got here. We tell the story of our salvation, remembering over and over again how God has been faithful from the beginning. We start in a dark church, reminding us of when the world was in darkness, when the light of Christ did not yet light our way. We light the new fire of Easter to remind us that it is Christ we are here to remember. We read from Scripture and tell the many stories of God's saving work. We remember how it's always been in God's nature to save us, redeem us, restore us to new life. And we epitomize that in the sacramental ritual of baptism, tonight renewing our baptismal vows and promises. And then we sum it up in the grand remembering of the story of God's saving power in Jesus. We do this because sometimes Christ's resurrection can feel like a singular historical event instead of our daily spiritual reality. Is Jesus really alive? What do we have to show for it? There is poverty all around us. Our democracy is in peril. Children continue to be gunned down at school while lawmakers ignore their pleas for a safer world. Black lives continue to not matter in a country where there are more black people in prison or on parole than there were in the 1860s. Immigrants seeking a better life on our shores are painted as criminals and deported to certain death. We ignore the unforgivable irony of a homeless person sleeping on the steps of golden gilded towers on Fifth Avenue. Despite overwhelming evidence, lawmakers continue to allow industry and infrastructure that permanently damage our planet. Trans people are being attacked and their health care denied. And the name of Jesus, precious Jesus, and the religion of Christianity is more recognizable as an extremist, far-right political machine than a group of people following Jesus' commandment to love and to serve others. Is Jesus really risen? Sometimes it feels like Jesus is still dead. So we need to tell these stories of how God has been faithful in the past. We need to remember our salvation history because we sing the first Easter Alleluia to a world that is divided and broken and still so much in need of new life. And there's good reason that we begin the Easter Vigil, the first proclamation of resurrection in the dark. There's reason we begin by lighting a fire in the dark with prayers and chants that remind us this is the night when Christ broke the bonds of death and hell and rose victorious from the grave. There's a reason we tell and retell the story of God's saving work throughout history and why we renew our baptismal vows as part of the ritual of eventually proclaiming the joy of resurrection, all in the dark. Because the darkness of the tomb, the darkness of hell, is where the Easter story begins. We tell the story of God's saving work in the dark because we acknowledge in many ways that that is our earthly reality. We can easily be given over to our negativity bias, to only seeing the darkness in the world around us, and we can forget that what's in front of us is not the whole picture. We can easily think that the truth of what's bad is the only truth there is. So we tell these stories over and over and over again. We renew our commitment to our faith. We rekindle the fire of God's saving love in our midst. We so deeply long for resurrection, for good news, for the victory of life over death. And this is why we need this ritual. This is the night we proclaim resurrection out of darkness. Proclaiming these alleluias is not wishful thinking or blind optimism. We proclaim alleluia even at the grave. There is such a thin place between death and life in our tradition, and we enter that thin place by telling these stories, lighting this fire, re-entering the waters of baptism, reminding ourselves of what we need to know and remember to stay grounded in God. Strengthened to know that as much as it is true that things and people can be truly evil and awful, it is also true that Jesus shows us the way that leads to victory over evil and death. Not that we sit back and wait for God to do it for us. No, this is the night we're invited into the resurrection of Jesus. It's not substitution. It's participation. We now put on the eyes and ears and heart of Christ, and we are invited into that very same life. In the words of Saint Epiphanius, Bishop of Cyprus, from the early 5th century, "Rise, let us leave this place. The enemy led you out of the earthly paradise. I will not restore you to that paradise, but I will enthrone you in heaven. I forbade you the tree that was only a symbol of life, but see, I, who am life itself, am now one with you. I appointed cherubim to guard you as slaves are guarded, but now I make them worship you as God. The throne formed by cherubim awaits you, its bearers swift and eager. The bridal chamber is adorned, the banquet is ready, the eternal dwelling places are prepared. The treasure houses of all good things lie open. The kingdom of heaven has been prepared for you from all eternity."
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.